thank you and welcome everyone. Just like to start with any apologies for absence.
We've had apologies from Councillor Ollie Davey, Councillor Frank Callis, John Humphreys, and Paul Miller and Joy Wicks.
But isn't Mr. Russell on there as well?
But he hasn't sent apologies.
Well, he just walked out.
Joe, you just come back in.
No, not Joe. Don't worry.
Mike, Steve.
Okay, in which case, the next thing would be to adjourn for the public forum, but I don't believe we have any members of the public here tonight, so and the Joe doesn't count, so that can move swiftly on. So, next item number two, to confirm and sign as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held all the way back on Thursday the 15th of August. Does anyone have any comments or corrections to those minutes?
There are corrections.
Yeah, I just asked them if I didn't declare a personal interest as a friend of a member of the Eccles Museum.
And also, I think we've got pecuniary interests, and they should be personal, shouldn't they? Councillor Nicholas, are you a friend of a member of the Exmouth Museum Committee?
Well, it all depends whether Beryl Cole's still on the committee or not.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So that would be a personal. Okay, so we'll update that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other comments on the minutes?
No, I wasn't here.
Okay, because I think we need a proposer and a seconder. Brian and Lynn?
Thank you.
Seems so, yes.
Okay. Do I sign them later?
Well, we'll need to print out.
You need to amend them. That's fine. Okay, great, that's great. So, number three, are there any matters arising from the meeting minutes? No? No? Quick, good. Okay, in which case, number four. So, any pecuniary interest declarations and dispensations for the meeting tonight? Lynn?
I just need to declare an interest because I'm Treasurer of Exmouth District Community Transport and there's a note that they've given you a report.
Cherry?
And I'm on the board, or the management committee, whatever you want to call it.
Exmouth District Community Transport Management.
Of the transport?
Yeah. Management committee.
Likewise for me, out.
Brian, same one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any others? No? Wonderful. In which case, we will resolve that the press and public were here. We're being excluded from the meeting, so we don't need to do that because there's no press or public here. So, moving swiftly on to item number six, report from the responsible financial officer, which is included in the minutes. Any questions or comments for Lisa?
I'd just like to say that you'll see that our balances are quite high at the moment. We haven't yet transferred the additional funding into the CCLA fund, although that's been resolved, and there's some paperwork to follow up. So, mindful of risk with bank balance limits, etc., we will be transferring some more money into the CCLA investment fund. And then I think the update in terms of shareholdings, etc., are all self-explanatory. I would just say that the internal auditor who's been in to do the internal audit has taken away quite a lot of material relating to the trust funds, particularly the ones where we're struggling in terms of the remit from the original legacy, and he's going to take them away, and we'll probably write to the Charities Commission on our behalf to ask what scope there is for us to extend the scope of expenditure. So we'll report back when he's done his homework, but when he was in doing the internal audit, Julie gave him all the information, he's taking it away. So we might be able to report back on that at the next meeting, hopefully. Do you want me to go on to the income and expenditure report as well?
There's no other questions on that? Yeah, we'll move on to that, yeah.
Okay, so you've got a detailed income and expenditure report by budget heading. There are no areas of concern at all. The only areas where we're potentially showing an overspend, i.e. elections, for example, we've got that in reserves, so the reconciliation will be made at year end in terms of pulling that money out of reserves to cover what appears like an overspend on the budget sheets. But other than that, there's nothing that I think I need to draw your attention to. Has anybody got any questions there?
No, I've only got one question. Are we any further forward with regard to the payment of the street, street scene? Because it still shows in obviously the budget that
Chetna
has paid it as yet.
Chetna,
but I wonder if we're any further forward.
Yes, Chetna has today given Julie permission to pay it. because Nick Christo came in this morning and they've been through all the winter work regime and they've finalised the pricing, so it will be paid within the next week.
Curiosity, how much less was it?
I think we ended up about £3,000 less, I think.
Less?
Yes.
Wow.
So the background to this is that the contract was negotiated with Street Scene back in 2011. We went out to tender, it was awarded to Street Scene, and what's happened is every year since, they've put an RPI increase on it, and some works have changed. We're not fulfilling quite as many hanging baskets as we did at the outset. There are some bedding areas that have perhaps been converted to perennials, which originally had annual plants. So there have been subtle changes to that contract over the 8 years since it was put in place. And that, coupled with the RPI increase, Chetna and I decided that we needed to sort of, you know, strip it back to basics and interrogate it. And it's taken a year, because we've had to wait for the winter contract. We've actually had to go out with a camera photographing where the work is and how that compares with the specification in the contract. So the winter contract, what we've been charged by Street Scene, reflects the work that's done. What we found in the summer contract was that we were being charged in some instances for work that they're no longer providing. So for example, hanging baskets, you know, we're being charged for 50, but actually when we went around and counted them, we only had 42. For example, I'm not sure of the exact numbers there, but things like that. So there was a credit applied in respect of the summer work, but the winter work was £8,000. That's been verified. So the invoice has been on hold whilst we were waiting to verify the winter work, because it's all on one invoice. Chetna completed that today, and so she's given Julie permission to pay it. The invoice reflects the discounted amount on the summer work, because there's been a credit issued.
Well, I know that they're not fulfilling the winter. They altered the winter one quite substantially by covering some beds and.
It was the summer scope of works that's changed the most. The credit note that we were given, I think off the top of my head, was £3,000. So all I would say is that Chetna has put in an awful lot of work.
Yeah, exactly.
She's interrogated it really robustly. I mean, it's taken her a year to do it, and she has picked it apart. So, you know, I'm confident that she's happy that what we're paying reflects the work that's being provided
to us.
And are
they going to put the bill for all the work that you and she have put in?
Well, no, they won't.
Because it shouldn't have been necessary. They should have been able to give the breakdown just like that.
Well, unfortunately, they couldn't. And part of that is because, you know, that work was negotiated through the parks team at East Devon District Council, and none of the original parks team members that were part of that contract and worked with John Wickersine on the contract are employed anymore. So, you know, we didn't have the historical knowledge, even when we dug through all our files. You know, we've had to pick up, you know, information, and likewise there was a lack of information on the part of Street Scene. So we've had to go back to basics and basically build it back up again. I would say that it is corroborated by the fact that they have an electronic system that records all the work, and so all the pricing has been pulled through from the DTE system, so we can pull it all off and we can interrogate it. And Chetna is confident that the point that we've reached now reflects what they are doing for us.
I still think myself that they should make a contribution to the cost of all the work that you had to do on their behalf.
Well, they've had to do quite a lot of work as well, but they won't pay a contribution, Cherry. I mean, you know, they won't do it.
Brian, did you have...
Chair, may I say that we should propose a vote of thanks to Chetna and, thank you, a vote of thanks to Chetna and to Lisa for all their hard work and the fact that they've saved this council a considerable sum of money.
Thank you.
I'd like that recorded properly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So just as an add-on to that, what I wanted to say is that that invoice is in respect of the current financial year that takes us through to March 31st. At the next full council meeting, Chetna is going to propose that we set up a small task and finish forum for councillors to decide what they are happy to spend money on for the coming financial year. And we need to do that in quite a timely fashion because Streetsing will be ordering all the bedding plants. But we had a TAF that looked at this back in 2011, and we think it would be apt to reconvene a small TAF of councillors so that we can look again, and then you can interrogate that breakdown of work and you can decide where your priorities are. One thing that we've flagged up already is that with the proposed resurfacing in the Magnolia Centre, Jeff Trail at the meeting we had in Jacobs last week has already flagged up that access for watering might be restricted, and therefore, you know, the planting that we're responsible in for in the Magnolia Centre, we're already thinking, well, if we can't gain access to water it, does the council want to take a view on whether we spend money on the bedding plants in the Magnolia Centre, for example? So there are a few anomalies like that that would need to be worked through, but we're proposing to do that through a TAF.
Brian?
Yeah, I just want to add the 150 grand we've got to give Devon County for the Dean Way extension. Is it possible to spread it over into several payments? It's going to take a long time to do it.
We won't be paying them anything until they have confirmed that their funding application to the Pinch Point Fund has been successful. That money will sit in our reserves account.
Yeah.
And it will only be paid over at the point that we get confirmation that their match funding application
so
has been...
So we'll have to pay in a lump sum at some time?
Yes.
We can't sort it?
No, we would need
several
to... I suspect we will need to pay it over in one go, but you know that money is accrued, still money that we've accrued. It's not going to come out of our revenue budget, it's going to come out of our reserves, so it's not going to have an impact on our budget. So, but we'll keep it in a reserves account until such time as we know whether that match funding application, that pinch point funding application has been successful.
So do we put that sort of money into a separate savings fund?
No, that's what I was saying. At the moment, all that money is sat in our bank account. So our bank balances are looking very high because we've got SIL money in there. We've got other reserves in there as well. So we're going to transfer some more money into the CCLA investment fund, public sector deposit fund. So that's what was agreed at the prior finance meeting. But it takes a couple of months for us to sort out all the paperwork and the signatories in the CCLA. So that's what we're doing at the moment. And then we will be transferring quite a hefty amount into the CCLA deposit fund. Basically, all the reserves will go in. The longer term reserves will go into the CCLA fund.
All right, Brian?
Thanks.
Regarding these investments, may I suggest we... because all the things that are going on politically and then the fact that we may or may not be in the EU is going to get great fluctuations in the worth of stocks and shares. So could we not invest the money into government bonds, which would be...
No, we have an adopted investment strategy, which has come through this committee. And the investment strategy states that we will put it into low-risk funds, AAA-rated funds, and the chosen scheme is the CCLA... public sector deposit fund, because it's considered to be a safe, low-risk fund.
It's not going to be, that sort of fund isn't going to be in the stocks and shares, investments or anything like that. It's going to be invested in those sort of things you mentioned, Brian.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on the statement of income and expenditure? Oh, Jerry?
How are we with the mayor and deputy mayor?
I was going to ask that. Yes.
So,
and the town crier's roads as well.
That's right.
Yes.
So I've spoken to Sarah Radford. Her view actually is that the mayor's roads don't need replacing, that they just need a damn good clean. Steve isn't in any desperate hurry for them to be replaced. Sarah Radford hasn't got any capacity at the moment to do it, so She's working on Rogers robes, and I've said to her that once they're complete, then we'd like to look at the other ones. But as I say, her view is that actually they just need a good clean. So it's the collar. Collar is going to be expensive. So the conversation I've had with her is that perhaps we could take the collar off, and we can have the collar put on new robes.
That's what Manny suggested. Because that you can take off as a separate.
But she hasn't got the capacity at the moment. So
no, various mayors. All right, Steve says he'll make do, but the last three, as far as I can remember, they were getting shoddier.
Is the plan to clean them and see if it looks any
better?
They will
be cleaned, but
because I think they look faded rather than dirty. Yeah, we're now dirty as well.
Yeah,
but
I know,
they look.
But once they're cleaned, I bet you'll see the marks.
Yeah,
I mean, we did discuss the fact that we would look at getting the fabric component of them replaced, but, Sarah Radford would be the obvious person to go to do that, and, her priority at the moment is getting Rogers' stuff done. I haven't had the capacity to start looking around at other quotes or try and find other things.
You haven't got the capacity to do
it. No, I haven't, but I haven't had much time to start looking at other seamstresses and things either.
Yeah.
So, it's on the list, Cherry, but in all fairness, it is quite low down at the moment with everything else that we've got going on. And I spoke to Steve about it, and you're not too worried at the moment, are you? So
when are
you going to put it in for cleaning?
We normally put it in when there's a gap, when Steve's not likely to use them. So, perhaps over Christmas.
A good clean as well.
Yeah.
And
definitely, Mary's robes have very little, if anything, wrong with them. They could do with a good clean, that's it.
We only need two days.
Be put on hold.
We only need 2 days. It only takes them 2 days to clean it.
Yeah, well, the cleaning's fine, but they don't need replacing, in my opinion. Mm. I'm not a tailor, but they look good and sturdy to me.
Wait until you see it after it's been cleaned.
Yeah.
It might be just some dirt pouring in the corner.
It is on the list, Cherry.
Well, I think we can safely say once they're cleaned, we can make an assessment at that point as to whether how urgent or not it is. Cool. Okay. Is there anything else on the statement of income and expenditure? In which case.
That makes sense.
Yep. In which case they need to be. Is that received and approved? Is that approved and seconded again? Expenditure?
No.
That one isn't. That's just the signing.
So what we need is the bank reconciliation. Yeah, I've got an update on that. Shall we just do the bank records?
Yes.
Spending money, are we?
Not spending yet. I'm trying to make sure it's there.
Yeah,
do you want to move on to the
if we're okay to do that.
Onto the list of payments. So we've circulated list of payments.
Can I just make a general point before we discuss the
application?
Mm-hmm. What I was going to say is that it's very kind of putting there the current balance of £5,800. I just feel personally we should make sure we do leave some funds in there for the next quarter. So when we're considering these three grants, if we think, because here we're asking for £3,325,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just thinking that we should leave a few
thousand
in there.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Anything for the next quarter.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I was just
a general comment.
No. I didn't know whether you just, before we go on to grants, I didn't know whether you wanted to look at the payments that have been made in August, September, October,
mm-hmm.
the detailed payments list.
Yeah.
Has anybody got any questions about those? Again, I think they're all self-explanatory, unless anybody's picked up anything that they specifically want to check. No?
Finger fatigue.
Yeah. Press restraint into it.
I'm missing it, Lisa, which I might be, is there a column where you have sort of assuming that expenditure continues to the end of the year, how much you'll have spent?
No.
Grants. Now, the first one, there's been an update subsequent to the agenda being issued. Lisa, do you mind just giving an update on that?
Yes, so I contacted the preschool manager from All Saints Preschool because you remember last time there was some concern or questions raised about whether this was a statutory funded project. And I invited her to come to the meeting because I thought that you would like the opportunity to talk to her in more detail. She came back to say that actually they've managed to secure external funding for that project through some trust funds and things. But what they could do with are some help, some modest help for some small sundry items in relation to the project. And I asked her to give me a list of what she wanted. Now, I don't know whether you're happy to consider this in the context of the application that she's already submitted, or whether you want her to submit another application. I felt because she was only asking for £236, you'd probably be willing to consider it. Within the context of the existing application, so you can see there's just some sundry items that they've asked if the town council would be happy to fund.
I'm happy to support this, Chair. In fact, if she's got a few other items, I'd actually be quite happy to support a few more. Okay. You know, I know she's got 235 there, and I think there's a number of projects I know they're undertaking. I'd actually be quite happy to feed them a little bit more than the 235, because I think she's been very, you know, sort of exacting what she's given you here.
Yes, yep.
And I'm not sure that, you know, if you want a few spare things and a few extra, I'd actually be able to give her a bit more than the 235.
So what would you like to propose?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm happy with 300 if anybody else is happy with 300.
Brian, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I should have supported it and say 250, 300, because they've been good this year and they've actually sorted themselves out regarding the larger fees. So I think it's worthwhile for us.
So we've got a proposer in Lynn, seconder in Brian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everybody's happy with that £300. Okay, thank you.
Great, wonderful. Moving swiftly on to the Veterans Community Support contributions towards a one-off trip for veterans to the Lost Gardens of Heligan, £325.
I can support this one, Chair. I'm just concerned reading all the information that they had. Obviously, they want to do further trips in the year to come. It's obviously a new group, but it's not an actual charity or anything else. I don't know whether they're going to think about that in the future rather than just be a friend's of, because they're going to start doing regular trips. It would pay them really to seek grants and things on a more general basis than a one-off trip.
Well, I can feed that back to them.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that they could get more to help their organisation. I'm happy to support 325.
Okay.
I'm just thinking that the type of work they're doing is invaluable, and it does help a lot of people, certainly those with PSD and various other things. And I just think, especially families, I'm just concerned that, you know, they've asked us for the one-off, but they probably, if they formulate themselves right, they can sort advice, they probably could get other funding from other organisations or lottery or... You know, I'm just thinking for them, because they might come back to us in a sort of 6 months' time and say, oh, we're doing another trip now.
Yeah.
Which I would support, but I just think
I'll feed that back to them. Right. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't know whether I declare an interest. I did national service in the Air Force 50, 60 years ago. the government has supposed to have made a special social contract with veterans, and they've sadly not come up with much. And I think we need to do our bit to support them.
Is Devon County Council, they hold the covenant for veterans?
This is just a support group that's been set up. So,
but they're actually based in Tiverton. But I know this is just. Is this trip just for the people that go meeting in Budley?
Yes.
Because they only, well, they said about six.
But just for
10 people. Sydney. No.
It says East Devon veterans.
Just the ex-service.
East Devon, it says. But they meet in Budley by the trip.
The majority of their members, I think, are from Exmouth.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of members are from Exmouth, as I understand it. They just happen to meet in Budley.
Okay. So, did we have a proposal? Steve and Brian Toy, proposal and second there. Take it all in favour?
Who was second, Brian?
Brian Toy, yeah.
Who was second?
Steve.
Oh,
Steve.
Right.
Well, Steve and Brian as a member.
And then the sea cadets then are asking for £1,500. Now, I believe Lynn, something was circulated which was very interesting reading.
Yeah.
So, would you like to speak first on this one?
Yeah, I can do. I mean, I did have a resident who I believe has associated with another department, I don't know, but was aware that they were asking us for a grant. Their concern was basically that we give them money towards their building. We give them money towards when they had the Dragon's Den, because they made an appeal, and there was an objection to that appeal that they made to us, but they got their money completely for their project, for their Land Rover and their thing. Now they've come back to us for £1,500 for this new projectors and kayaks. My concern was in some way the grant application had been put forward, and that they didn't seem to be doing a lot themselves to be able to put the money in, and I was concerned that they were saying, oh, that's okay, we'll put a grant in to get the grant, without thinking this through and saying, oh, it's £1,500, so we'll go to the town council and get £1,500. And that is how it came over to this particular resident who knows some members of the Sea Cadets or officers of the Sea Cadets, and it came over to them that they weren't even considering doing anything else other than coming to the town council.
Yeah.
And adding it up, and thank you for the information that you forwarded to me, it means that we've actually granted them £10,000 in the time that they've put forward. So I was minded not to give them the £1,500. I'm not going to be saying I'm not going to give them anything, but I was minded that they should perhaps seek some other funding from elsewhere, from other organisations, or because they should be able to get grants from all sorts of organisations. Secondly, what I was going to ask for is that when we amend the form, and I know Lisa's minded that this as well, is that any other application form that I fill in for umpteen different charities I'm treasurer of, every single one asks, you know, have we applied to them before, and have we sought, and what has been paid against what they've requested. So, you know, for example, the Abbey Field, we've just had money for roof, so it's a 50,000 project, they paid me 10.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I then put forward something else, Normans will know that I put 50,000 in and they gave me 10.
Yeah.
But there's nothing on our form
to
ask that. And if you get a new council and new members,
that's fine. We can update it.
I think that as well.
So when we updated the forms, we took on board the fact that you wanted to know if they were applying to other bodies. So for example, if you know they've got committed funds from the county council's locality budget or whatever, we put that on board. But you know, we can amend it again for the next year, financial year, to include that information. That's fine.
I just think because you often, I know it's before you've changed hands, but you can have change of members on change of committees, and they've got no background knowledge.
No, that's fine. We can do
that.
Awful,
isn't it? They have to declare.
So
what we've given them previously.
No, I was just going to say that if you look at the covering letter that initially came into Councillor Gazzard from Tony Griffin, he did originally say that they were looking for funding to effect repairs on their rescue boats. And he'd spoken to Mark Williams at East End District Council, who pointed him in our direction, hence the letter. I then phoned Mr Griffin up and said, well, you know, you would need to put in an application form. And he said, well, you know, I've got the application form. It says that you're unlikely to grant funds of more than £1,500. So this is what I'm going to put my application in for. So he sort of tweaked his application so that what they're requesting is £1,500.
Which is my argument.
Brian, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I mean, they are rather a favoured group in a way. I doubt whether many other youth organisations have been funded like this. I doubt whether the SE Scouts or the Girl Guides get anything like that sort of money. And I think if we reduce it quite a lot, that will give them, put a marker that you can't come asking for too much money every time.
Okay.
So I would suggest £500.
Steve, next. Oh, mind yourself.
There you go. I thought you were going to give us a dance.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think the information that you sent out, Lisa, was very interesting. Thank you for asking the question. Yeah, I am mindful that we have been very supportive from over the years. And I would second the recommendation of £500.
Brian?
Thank you. I agree with everything that's been said, but I wouldn't be that generous. I would go to three, to be honest with you. Because £500 is still a lot of money, and I think three is sending a signal that we'll help you, but we're not going to help you that much. But if we give them £500, that's a third of what they want. So I would say, I would honestly suggest 300, if that gets anyone's support. Thank you.
Any other comments on the 500 or 300?
Got a proposal and a second for 500.
I withdraw the 500.
Oh, yeah. You've withdrawn the 500.
Down three.
300 then.
You say 100.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So we've got
Sea Scouts somewhere in Kenya, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been happy with five, to be honest.
So I think, Brian, you're proposing three, and Steve, you're seconding it, so.
Yeah.
So is everybody in favour of 300?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if
everyone else, well, no, I'll go back and just say in the context of, you know, the total funds that we've got available for the current year.
There's other funds
and their past applications. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Well, there's other groups out there that could do, you know, that we've not supported that might need support. So
I think
that's
an explanation, isn't it? I think they've applied to us and we've decided to give them £300. I don't honestly feel you want to go and explain to them
suspect I'll be asked the question, Brian, so.
Because you've always given them
a
chance.
Well, that's right, I think that's putting you in a position
we're
which
not
you
shouldn't
be
in.
Wrong time of the year is what I would say to come asking.
Yeah,
okay, that's great, thank you. That's all of those applications. So number 9 is the service level agreement to receive an update from Exmouth Community Transport, which is attached. So are there any comments on that one? No comments? If it's just to receive, Lisa, is that all good? Nothing anyone else to add?
It wasn't clear to me in respect of the replacement bus.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they were going to consider putting in an additional request for funding or anything.
No,
obviously the service level agreement that we have expires end of March.
Yeah.
We're sending out the renewal form. So.
Yeah.
No, the at the moment it's we're still in discussions about the bus that's going to replace the community bus.
Okay.
And the size of the bus because of the change in legislation. That there is a case, and Brian knows more than I do about this, but there is a case going on in, that a commercial firm challenged the community transport that they were actually competing against some commercial activity in London with a scheme that had 56 buses, one bus. So we've got to wait for, we're still in negotiation or discussion with Devon County Council as to the size of bus, and secondly, because people's driving licences have changed now, they can only drive up to an 11-seated bus unless they're of a certain age, and the difficulty is that you've then got to do a passenger vehicle licence, and they tend to be trained by us, and then they go trained by us and then go to stagecoach. So we've got a number of issues to decide on exactly the replacement bus that we're going to have.
We're looking at, if we go down the wrong, if the wrong route comes to us, it's not our decision. If it's decided by this tribunal that we go down the route of public service vehicles, it's going to cost us approximately £3,000 per driver, plus each vehicle has to have a full inspection every 6 weeks, which is expensive, and it's going to really blow us out of the water. So we're hoping that it will come down on the right side so we can go through.
Okay.
And the best way of doing it, I think we decided just within this room, is to go all goes well, within a private hire licence on the taxis with 8-seater vehicles. And then we can escape all this regulation and escape all these vast sums put upon us.
Okay.
Just to train a driver is £1,500, then it's another £3,000 to get him registered or her registered. Plus you need a full operator's licence, which you're not going to get for less than £15,000
a year. I was only interested really in terms of when we start working on the budget,
At the moment, what we'll be anticipating is send you the normal a certain figure against the population.
That's fine.
When I've calculated the account.
Okay,
Jerry?
I'm sorry, Jerry, I need your pardon.
Yeah, well, the other thing is they need the buses. This is the only service that goes other than taxis. But number one, they get a lot of the people that are on there, that's the only outing they have in the whole week or maybe even a month. And it takes you door to door. They even get their shopping carried in and that.
I don't dispute that. As I say, my question was just reading that, you know, were there any implications that we needed to be aware of when we were putting the budget together? That's
well, I might ask you eventually when there's a bus.
Okay.
Chair, by the way, I forgot to declare an interest in this. I declare off something else. The other one I've got to declare off is the next thing on the list, which I forgot, I beg your pardon.
The next one on the list being the 5-year agreement on the photocopier.
No, the roof club, beg your pardon.
I did wonder if you were moonlighted as a photocopier engineer, no, Brian. So I'm
glad to moonlight.
Glad you cleared that up. Right, number 10 then, to consider and approve a new 5-year agreement with Ryko for the lease of a new copier printer scanner, average cost every 3 months for £435.
I think this is a competitive price and would move we accept.
Yeah.
Is that the best deal we can get? We've looked around over for other deals. And how much would, I wonder what a new one would cost if we
That is a new one, but we have it on a lease.
Oh, it's a lease purchase.
It's a lease. No, it's just a lease. We just lease it and then, you know, at the end of the
year. I presume the term it's got a service term, thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be costed £50 about that.
Proposal and second today? That was Lynn and Steve Gazzard. Right, there you go, Brian. Did you want to declare your interest now from the Council?
I'll declare an interest as I was a founding member of this with David Poore and my wife, and also I shall probably be on this committee officially by this time on Wednesday night.
Cool. So, thank you, Brian. So, just to consider, I'll just read that. Consider an approval request from the Council David Poore to cover the cost of volunteer training for the newly formed Littleham Community Youth Club of £80. Lisa, did you have?
Well, so we talked about the possibility of covering training for our council representatives on this out of our town council training budget. But there are a couple of people that aren't councillors who would also benefit from training. And I could have got them to fill out an application form, a grant application form, but I thought, frankly, for £80, you know, you'd probably be happy to consider it as a separate agenda item, so it's just gone on as an agenda item.
Lynn, I just wanted to ask whether the number of volunteers that they're training is very low. I know they're anticipating that they're going to increase that. Is there any way, because this is only £80, that we could actually put something in there that when they... What I wouldn't like is David to get these volunteers and they come forward and then say, hang on a minute, I've got to go back and... because he's actually trying to recruit volunteers at the moment to be able to increase the number at the club, as I understand.
Very, very good point, actually. Thank you. Because the AGM's on Wednesday.
So what you could do is you could say that you're happy to fund training up to a cost of £300 or whatever.
All I'm thinking is that because it's a newly formed club and he's trying to expand it, I wouldn't like to see youngsters not able to go to this club because we haven't trained the volunteers and we've got to wait.
So if you want to put a ceiling on it, so then I can say to them that we'll pay for this round of training, and then if they've got more training up to a ceiling, that we would cover it.
Yeah. Perhaps that needs to be deferred to Councillor Bailey and Councillor Paul, because I don't know how many they're likely to...
David and I can give you more information after Wednesday night, because we've got our AGM, and hopefully we'll get some volunteers to come up then.
Well, we need approval for this, because the training is imminent.
Thank you very much.
So, do you want us to say that we'll just support the £80, or do you want to put a ceiling on a higher threshold?
I think we could realistically, realistically, we would probably need another four people. We've got four now.
Yeah.
Should we suggest the three? Did you have something other?
Yeah, I don't know whether this is for individual training or for group training.
For four people.
So
should we suggest up the ceiling of up to 300?
What about DBS chapter?
We've only been asked to contribute towards the cost of the training.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
actually,
because that's phenomenal. Did you say four, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's 20 thing. I mean, I think if you said £250, and that would pay probably. I mean, volunteers should get free DBS now. Well, they should do. We do, but volunteers you don't for staff. I mean,
well,
so
up to 10.
If you said, could it be 160? So if you said £200 or £250 or whatever,
£200. That will train up to 10
yeah.
people. Then.
Yeah.
Okay. Proposer and seconder. Steve proposing seconder. Lynn?
Everyone in favour?
Yes.
Because then we won't need to bring it back.
No,
we can just,
that's what I'm concerned
yeah.
about. I wouldn't like to see youngsters not able to go because you haven't got training people.
Okay.
No, okay. That's
great.
Great. So before we move on, we're having our AGM at 7:15 this Wednesday night. The club will be open at 5 o'clock on Wednesday evening. So if anyone wishes to come along, it would be very welcome, including your worship.
Okay, right, item number 12 then. To note the process and provisional timetable for setting the 2021 budget and associated preset.
So just to say that we have not yet been notified by the District Council of the council tax base or the deadline for our preset request to go to the District Council. We're working on the basis that it'll be towards the end of January, which is what it usually is. Julie and I have got a meeting tomorrow to look at the first draft. I did email the chairman of all the working parties on anything they specifically wanted factored in. Haven't had a great deal back, so I think what we'll do is we'll have a go at a first draft, and then we were proposing to organise a separate briefing meeting, as we have done for the last couple of years, so that we can go through it in detail with councillors. If we then need another meeting, we can facilitate that with the idea that we would ratify it at the January full council meeting so that we can meet the supposed deadline, which we have yet to be confirmed by mid-January. Are you happy with that?
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy for us to try and get a meeting in December once we've done the first draft?
That worked last time when the group brought this.
I think it will be a fairly straightforward process, and I think because our reserves are looking quite healthy, then even if there were project costs that came up, we have got money in reserves that we can fund projects out of. So, we'll just focus on the revenue costs.
Great.
Are you proposing a date at all?
I'll have a look at the diary and see what's doable. Yeah.
Okay, and then final item number 13, just to note the correspondence from the Chartered Accountants in relation to the recent internal audit, which looks like flying colours again from what I can see. So well done,
thank you.
Very, very well done. Was there any questions on that one at all? Next visit is in March 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great, well then in that case I think we can close the meeting.
Thank you.